I think that you have to think of it as it being fun. I was dreading this so much. I was like, oh my God, I can't do telehealth. And I think that it's been so much fun to do. And it's fun to talk to the patients because, you know, you have a relationship with them. You become friendly with them and it keeps you connected to the patient. So I think you have to think of it as something fun and a new skill to learn because you'll feel so much more comfortable as you keep doing it.
Erica Mikic on the show, the co-owner of Solstice Physio in Midtown, New York City, and another location in Great Neck, Long Island. We bring Erica on the show because she's a pelvic physical therapist who a few months ago was seeing a lot of patients face-to-face only. And of course, COVID-19 hit and she had to adapt. And that's what physical therapists are really, really good at. She actually admits that she was a little bit resistant and hesitant at adapting to telehealth. But since then, she actually kind of likes it. Yeah, who would have thought? We get some really tactical advice from Erica on how she's adapted, especially with something as intimate as pelvic health physical therapy for females and males. How do you do that? Well, she's not only doing it, but she's doing it really well. So we wanted to share that with you guys. So you get some information from Erica. Episode is brought to you by our friends at Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it online. Johnny Owens and his team, the experts in the field when you want to do it properly with the research behind it. So if you heard about BFR, just check them out online and you'll find out some more information about why this might be right for you and your practice. OwensRecoveryScience.com as well as their new podcast online. Find them on iTunes, the Owens Recovery Science podcast. Again, that website, OwensRecoveryScience.com.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
Welcome aboard.
This is the PT Pintcast. Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, welcome to the show. Thank you for telling a friend and sharing the episodes online. We've seen a lot of you guys. Do you want to thank a new like kind of intern, Bridget Nolan, who has been putting together some social media things that maybe you've seen. We call them audiograms, kind of that graphic, and then a kind of a quote from the episode that we share online. So we've been seeing you guys spread the word there. If you're finding value in the show, make sure to follow us on social media, at PT Pintcast on all the platforms. And of course, we think the greatest example of paying it forward is telling a friend. Talking a lot about really tactical things people can do now as really being flexible and being creative, and necessity is the mother of invention, is kind of like the theme for the world, but our world is physical therapy and how we can help our patients. We bring on Erica Mikic. Erica, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you, Jimmy?
I'm doing all right. Appreciate you taking some time out. You're a private practice co-owner, Midtown, New York, and you got a location in Great Neck, Long Island. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. We opened up the second location in January.
And how long was the first location open before you did that?
We've been open since March 2019.
Okay.
So a year.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And it's called Solstice Physiotherapy. And who's your co-owner? You got to make sure you got to name drop, or else she's going to be mad if she didn't make the episode.
Oh, yeah. So my business partner is Tara Mortifolio. So we are, partners at Solstice Physiotherapy.
So let's do the back of the baseball card view is what I like to say. Just kind of give people the overall view of what your clinic is like, who you treat, you know, what kind of a facility it is, who you get to see, you know, brag about yourself a little bit.
So we are a pelvic floor specialty clinic. We treat men and women, and it's Tara and I, and we have another PT, Lexi, and we're all pelvic floor specialists, and we are out of network. And you said, Midtown and Great Neck.
Yeah.
So I kind of got into pelvic floor, a little bit background on myself. I went to Villanova undergrad, and then I tore my ACL three times, that sort
three
of thing,
times.
And got into and got into physical therapy. So I went to Rutgers, and I ended up working in Philly for a little bit. I'm aging myself here, but like for 3 years, and then I did ortho pelvic floor PT, a mix.
Right.
And I ended up back in New York because that's where I'm from. And I worked in a private practice with Tara, actually. We met at a continuing education, like a Paris course.
I hear that a lot. That happens a lot with people. They meet at a content course. Next thing you know, they open a business. I think that's cool.
Yeah. It was amazing. And she actually did pelvic floor at Columbia. And I was at HSS. And then we both actually left and went to a private practice that we worked in for pelvic floor for someone else. For 5 years, and then we both left together and started our own practice. We wanted to do our own thing. We had a different frame of mind of how we wanted to treat. So
that's cool.
Yeah, and it's been amazing experience. absolutely amazing.
That's cool. For people who don't know.
And then COVID hit.
Right. I was going to say, it's an amazing experience. And then things get turned sideways, right? You know, we know what we know. Like, things are stable. And then all of a sudden, something like COVID hits. And that's got to flip a private practitioner, a clinician, anybody. It's flipping all of our worlds upside down. So now that we kind of have a little bit of the overview of what your clinic was like, when COVID hit, especially wanted to talk to you because you're in Midtown, New York City. This is kind of the epicenter. I'm a New Yorker too. You know, what happened? What went through your head and how'd you adapt?
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting, right? We all went into physical therapy as thinking it's like a very stable field,
right?
You never think like, oh, I'll never have a job.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, COVID hit. And everyone that was working for someone is basically unemployed, unless you work for like a huge company. And, you know, things change, right? So it's just an interesting place to be in. And especially in our clinic, we're in Midtown. So patients were coming in the middle of their work day where we're at.
Right.
So it was a little different. So everyone's kind of dispersed home.
And a lot of people if they work in Midtown, they don't necessarily live in Midtown. So they're from Long Island, they're from Westchester, they're from different parts of New York.
Exactly. So it was really interesting. Like you would think like we were like, oh, this is amazing. People are coming during their lunch hour. They don't want to come in at 7:30 at night anymore. But now it all changed. So we kind of quickly adapted. I think that we've taken on a lot of the telehealth that's going on. But listen, we are a pelvic floor practice, right? What we do is intimate. And you can't necessarily, we do a lot of manual. We're very manually heavy based practice. And, you know, obviously we do ortho with the patients because you have to, and pelvic floor is orthopedic, but there is a manual component, especially assessing patients, and there's a trauma component. So, you know, it's hard for patients to assess themselves in a way.
So let's start here. You know, you were kind of apprehensive about telehealth, which I think is pretty common amongst people in physical therapy. It's been a buzz phrase for a long time. And you highlight, I think you have a lot of things that made it difficult, but you're doing it. And that's what we wanted to bring you on to talk about, how you did it. You know, if you're a pelvic health physical therapist, you talk about intimacy. You have to, you know, build, I'm imagining, a pretty strong bond and a good relationship and a great rapport with your patients, because they're going to be talking about things that are pretty intimate. How are you doing that via telehealth?
Yeah, so it was interesting because Kara actually did a lot more telehealth with patients that were like not either from Europe or from other countries, and I really hadn't done much. So now we just started middle of March when this all sort of happened for New Yorkers. And what we really started with was a lot of our patients that we've had already, we were seeing them through telehealth. And listen, it wasn't every week necessarily, but maybe every other week we've been seeing patients. And we've really gone through with them like a home program to manage some of the chronic pain that they're having. So you could do a lot through telehealth with pelvic floor, right? So what we really started with was bowel habits, bladder habits, and habits of them in their own home, like how people are working at home, showing us their home office, desk setup, things like that, modifications that way, right?
That's kind of cool.
It's actually kind of cool. And what I've noticed really with patients that have told us is that they have a lot more pain in their office sitting in a cubicle than doing work at home, which is really interesting. We could all kind of figure that, but it was just funny hearing it out loud. I've heard it from multiple patients already.
But you're able to see things that you couldn't see before. So let's find it. You know, one drawback is obviously you not being able to put your hands on that patient, not being face to face. One advantage might be you've got a live camera to check out their home environment.
Right. So we're looking at their home environment and assessing it. And I'm having patients show me like different chairs in their house, different ways we could set up a standing desk, different ways of showing me their toilet and their toileting posture, which is super interesting, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't, like sometimes you tell patients to take pictures of stuff and they don't always do it.
Sure.
So like, it's really nice to get a full sense of it. So that's one thing that's been really interesting. Also, we use dilators with patients.
Okay.
So I actually can show them through telehealth. They're not exposing themselves through telehealth because you have to be careful.
Right.
But I can guide a patient through using their dilator like in their own bed for vaginal stretching, which is helpful, propping them with proper pillows, sleeping postures.
Okay.
And then I'm also teaching patients how to use a wand. It's like a self-release, which I'm sure most PTs know, but it's a self-release technique to use vaginally or rectally with our male patients too. So we're doing, I'm showing them how to use that too at home. So at least they have a home program that they could be consistent with. And, you know, it's giving them more independence, I think, as a patient, not leaning on us as much, which I think is kind of amazing.
Right.
You know, it doesn't take away the manual skills, but it gives them a program that they feel like I can go away for 2 weeks, go on vacation and do everything and maintain my symptoms.
Myself. Yeah. Yeah. Hey,
it's a little eye opening.
I bet when you're doing something like that, you mentioned being able to walk a woman or a man through propping themselves up in pillows in their bed and using these things and these pretty intimate devices on themselves. How did your mindset shift when you knew, hey, I'm doing this in a video session? You've got to walk through a bunch of things where I've got to tell them to put the camera so you can see and you can be heard and they can see you and hear you. You know, how did you practice at all with anybody else, or did you just kind of really think hard, or was it trial by fire?
You know what? Honestly, Kara and I both are Pilates instructors, and when we did our Pilates training, they taught us how to use our words. So I think that was helpful. But I think you definitely need to practice using words and cueing.
Right.
And what I have patients do is you can get like a tripod for like $14 on Amazon, and you could put your phone up so that they could like position it different ways if they don't want to use it on their computer. But you can like adjust the computer fine. And we set up the camera so that I could assess them like standing, you know, doing a functional movement assessment. I mean, you could do a lot of assessment through the camera.
Yes.
Having them self-palpate. And then it's really interesting because you could show anatomy images and then teaching the patient more anatomy on themselves.
So what
self-palpation technique.
So what do you have? You have pictures or, you know, like a 3D image or something like that, and you're showing them? That's cool.
So I have a pelvic model that I show them, but you could also definitely show them pictures, and you can screen share on some of the, so you can show them or like draw through like preview or, you know, one of the image programs, and you can draw pictures around certain anatomy structures for them. Yeah. So I have them do like a lot of stomach abdominal massage, colon massage, C-section incision massages, like abdominal surgery massages. And I'll have them do it on camera. So that's great because they tilt the computer screen down and I could see them actually palpate and describe to them exactly what muscle and, you know, what organ they're near abdominally.
Right.
So it's very helpful.
Yeah, I bet. And we're talking about now, you know, with flexibility and time, they're able to schedule pretty easily, right? I mean, now that a lot of us have a lot of extra time on our hands inside. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so much easier to schedule, actually. Well, now, you know, with the patients in the clinic, we have to space everyone out and use proper precautions, but it's so much easier through telehealth right now. And you could do 15 minutes.
Right.
15 minutes to go through something quick with the patient, you know? And sometimes they just, I've also realized that telehealth has been helpful in revisiting their history and really going through it with a fine-tooth comb.
Why is that? Because
talking to them for 5 to 10 minutes in the beginning, I think that you can really reflect back on, you know, their history from the beginning and go through everything and really focus on that.
Because you're less rushed?
Instead of even movement. I'm sorry.
Like, why is that? Because you're less rushed? Because you're not in the clinic? Or why, like, you know, where does that come from?
You know, I find that, I don't know if you feel like this too, Jimmy, like when you're in the clinic, I do notice that we will go through history, right? Obviously, when the patient comes in, and then you jump to movement or jump to manual right away, right?
You want to start
doing. Because you're trying to get everyone in.
Right.
Yeah, you're busy. You're like, okay, I have a plan. But with telehealth, you're actually sitting face to face with a patient, like in the initial eval, and you're really getting like a full sense again of their history with even more details. I don't know. I've noticed that I've caught a couple of things through telehealth. Maybe it's just because we're slowed down, honestly.
That'd be another plus, right? You're slowed down.
Yeah.
You know? You get to pay attention to the words. Like, as you mentioned, you know, as a Pilates instructor, using your words more, they get to use their words more.
Right. And it helps you as a clinician describe things better to the patient, honestly, instead of just showing them and touching them in the clinic.
Wow. And so, I mean, it just goes back to what, you know, Sharon Dunn said in, I don't know, some big lecture when she was on a big stage, and she said, it's time for PTs to get paid for, you know, what's between our ears and not necessarily just what we do with our hands. And Sharon's never mocking anything we do with our hands or movement wise, but she, you know, really wanted to stress that our profession needs to make sure as a profession that we're sharing that what's between our ears and how we're able to communicate and how we're able to understand is one of the most important parts of our profession.
Exactly. And it's giving you another skill set, because doing telehealth can bring out like, oh, you know what? I wasn't explaining this way to the patient in the clinic, and now they have to do it actually at home. Yeah. Oh, I'm saying it in a different way. And I think it could develop a different skill set.
Yeah.
And more confidence for the patient.
I bet. And that's the thing, right? We want them to be self-sufficient. That's our goal. We're trying to talk ourselves and move ourselves out of a patient eventually.
Exactly. So this is interesting. I had a patient today who I've seen for a long time, an endometriosis patient. And the last time I saw her in the clinic in March, she had a ton of pain and had like a flare. And then I talked to her today and she was like, you'll never believe this. I've been working from home. I've been doing my home program every day. I've been doing yoga for an hour and I've been doing this. And my pain is totally controlled.
Wow.
And she was like, and you know what? I'm not walking to the train every day, starting my sympathetic nervous system and being stressed about going to work. I'm able to relax at home. My pain has been controlled.
Wow.
And I'm like, this is amazing. You
look at the videos from around the world, right? You've seen like the Venice, like the water's blue, there's dolphins there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In India, you can see the sky, and it's like, man, when we take the modernization out of the world and ourselves included, things clear up.
Yeah. So it's really an eye-opening experience. And listen, for us physical therapists, our profession is to touch, right? And that is our bread and butter, and it's never going to go away. Patients are always going to need that. But for the patients that now, when we go back to the clinic and things start to normalize again, when you're discharging a patient, now you have the option. Okay, listen, if you're really in a bind, you can't get here, call me through telehealth and we can do 15 minutes. We'll update something quick or we'll go through your history and see what's going on. And like, this is a new tool that we should feel comfortable using.
Yeah, necessity, the mother of invention. You had said before we had even spoken, you're like, hey, listen, full disclosure, I was resistant. And I think that's really common with most of the profession. And it was 2 months ago. And I think a lot of people are, you know, kind of opening their eyes, much like yourself, and grabbing onto this and figuring it out. And that's what therapists do. We figure stuff out.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back to the PT Pinecast.
Do you want to improve your skills as an orthopedic physical therapist? Do you want to practice at the top of your profession? Have you ever thought about earning your orthopedic clinical specialist certification? Well, imagine how great it would feel to go into the OCS examination feeling confident and prepared that you'll pass on your first attempt. If you were given a plan that was simple to follow, if you were given lessons that were easy to understand, and you were given sample tests that sharpened your skills. However you're comfortable studying, the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy's Current Concepts course can make you more prepared and confident for the OCS examination. But it can't help you unless you take the first step and make the investment, and today is your chance. Go to orthopt.org and take the Current Concepts course from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy. That's orthopt.org and the Current Concepts course from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy.
Follow us online, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at PT Pinecast.
New Step created the first product of its kind 25 years ago. That was the New Step Recumbent Cross Trainer. Now it's a mainstay in rehab with physical therapists worldwide. New Step now continues its tradition of innovation with the New Step Transit, another innovation in recumbent cross trainers for physical therapists, delivering real-time biofeedback with this piece of equipment, letting you use it in meaningful ways for awareness of physical performance, goals, identifying and correcting deficits or imbalances. Take a test drive or find out more at newstep.com. That's N-U-Step.com. Online at newstep.com.
And we're back. Let's get back to the show.
Really tactically, what program are you using to connect with people? Are you using one particular way to connect or a couple different?
So we were using Zoom,
okay.
But then because they're listed HIPAA compliance, but then once that goes back, you have to pay for Zoom. But I know WebEx apparently is great. We haven't used it, but we're actually using Google Meet right now because it is HIPAA compliant. And we have G Suite, so it automatically comes with it. But I do know there is a couple of programs that you can use. So basically, it was Zoom and Google Meet is what we were using currently.
Yeah, either of those that you would suggest, pros or cons, if anybody's listening and they're in the middle of deciding, or anything you've found that you like better than the other?
I think Zoom is very easy to use, honestly, and it's worth it to pay for it. It's user-friendly, it's easy to invite people, and it's very clear. So I personally prefer Zoom, but in the long term, we're going to stick more with Google Meet just because we have it.
Right.
But I did learn there was a couple of other ones. Clocktree apparently is good. Mm-hmm. And doxy.me and IntakeQ has something, and Simple Practice.
Yeah, I think a lot of these names are flying around. A couple of these sound familiar to me because I think everybody's talking about them on social media.
Everyone's talking about it,
What's good? Where do I go? APTA, we just did an episode not long ago. APTA just put out literally a top 10 tips. Like if you were to go from I'm not doing telehealth to I'm doing telehealth, they listed their kind of top 10 tips on things to pay attention to. And they had some of the really big and little. Big ones, make sure things are HIPAA compliant, as you just mentioned. Yeah. Make sure everything's within your state scope of practice, things like that. But if a clinician at a practice similar to yours, in terms of either size or scope or patient population, you know, what are three things you would have them do first? I mean, they can be as specific as, hey, make sure that the area you're sitting in has, like, you know, is you know, good for sound and you're lit well, stuff like that. But if you had to go from scratch again and tell yourself, hey, make sure you do these three things first, what would they be?
Yeah, I mean, definitely finding an area to do telehealth in is super important. And I noticed because in my apartment in Brooklyn, it's pretty small, so I had to clear out an area. So that, keeping like just a TheraBand and like quick things that a patient can use at home, like pillows by use to show them how to use household stuff.
That's smart.
I would keep like in your vicinity.
Yeah.
I also think that you need to tell the patient, which patients don't necessarily understand this, for like number two, would be to tell patients to that they have to prop themselves to show you things.
Okay.
So they need to like either have like space on their floor, or, you know, that they're dressed appropriately to show you things
right, like
that.
Well, I mean, a lot of these things are compatible with in the clinic too. How many times you have a patient show up a completely inappropriate dress and you're like, so we're going to be working out in jeans, huh? We're going to be doing that?
Yeah. Yeah, or they come in their suits. I'm like, I have shorts for you. But
Yeah. All right. So that's number one, is making sure the environment, which I think is smart, right? If you're going to build a clinic, you want to build a good environment. And this is kind of your remote clinic. What about number two?
Number two would be having, so for us, like I've been having the patients buy dilators and wands if they didn't have it. So if you want the patient to buy something specific,
have
them purchase it beforehand.
On hand.
So that they're not wasting their time.
Right. That's
so
smart.
So I'm like, buy this. Cause if I already know the patient, if you're doing an eval, it's different, but if I already knew the patient, okay, buy this. When you get it, let me know. We'll schedule it. And then we'll have everything ready so that I could show you everything and make this worthwhile.
That's cool. Cause you can even give them a link on Amazon or something if something's available.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know how long that delay is going to be. Okay, we can't talk Monday. We got to wait till that delivery. Yeah. We got to wait till Thursday.
Yeah.
That's really smart. So you're talking about your environment. Number two is talking about their environment or what they're equipped with. How about number three?
Number three, I find that like I'm summarizing for the patient everything we've talked about in telehealth. So like giving them, basically my whole theme has been, what's your daily plan every day to maintain your symptoms and control what's going on? So giving the patient control. So basically, during every session, I'm writing down exactly what we did and giving them a daily routine for them and then sending it to them.
That
they have something to take away, just so that they are like, okay, during my work day, like this is what I'm doing in the morning and this is what I'm doing at night and this is what I'm doing during the day to control what's going on and giving them independence.
I feel like that's
so
what
they know.
I feel like that's what personal trainers are so good at doing, is like making sure you have a plan. And I think a lot of times, myself definitely included, especially going through rotations in school, I was so focused on what I was doing with the patient when they were in front of me. And a lot of times I'd be rushing for the last 2-3 minutes to print out a plan or write the plan down, whereas that's probably the most important part.
100%. And like, honestly, it's been very helpful for patients.
I bet.
And it gives them independence, honestly. And then they feel in control. And I think that's the most important. So, and they should feel confident about their controlling their flares and things like that. So.
That's good advice. All right. Those were three tactical topics. I like that. You pulled those out of the air. I like that. I haven't asked anybody this. So you're the first person I've had the phone for this. Any chance of you downloading the session and giving it to the patient? Would that ever be helpful? Like like giving them a recording?
I haven't really thought about that. But yeah, I think that could be helpful. If the patient really has a hard time like remembering what you went over,
right.
I mean, I give them pretty detailed notes after. I think there's nothing worse than like leaving a PT session and not knowing what you're supposed to do.
Right.
So I try to give them like super detailed notes. So I think if you do that, they might not ask
right
for the recording, you know? But I mean, I would totally be willing to do that.
Be kind of cool because, you know? I mean, how many times in clinic I've grabbed my phone or something and recorded something just in the moment. But hey, if the whole session is there and you can say, hey, listen, we start your exercises at minute 19, feel free to take a look at this and fast forward it. I'm sure some issues might come up in terms of like security of video and things like that. I think the more we do this, the more things will become secure.
Well, things are popping up. Yeah. To see. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you just have to be careful. But I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I also feel like you could, if you know your program, you could have someone video you doing the exercise and then email them
right.
too.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. What else would you want to say to therapists out there who are now jumping in, just like you, going from, hey, I don't really know about this, to, hey, now I know a lot about this?
I think that you have to think of it as it being fun. I was dreading this so much. I was like, oh my God, I can't do telehealth. I depend on my hands so much. And I think that it's been so much fun to do. And it's fun to talk to the patients because, you know, you have relationship with them. You become friendly with them.
Right.
It is entertaining for your day as much as it is for theirs.
Yeah.
And it keeps you connected to the patient. So I think you have to think of it as something fun and a new like skill to learn because you'll feel so much more comfortable as you keep doing it.
And hey, listen, if it isn't fun for you, if the patient can tell, they're going to feel that and they're going to react accordingly.
100%. They feed off your energy.
Yeah, I love that.
So, I mean, and also you are someone that they talk to and they trust.
Right.
And if anything, you're just giving them a sense of, oh, they're still there for me. Oh,
right.
I still have someone that, you know, I could ask questions to. No one's like falling off the face of the earth.
Yeah, a little normalcy in this time and time of the world. Erica, you ready to play three questions?
Oh, yeah, sure.
On the hot seat with three questions on the PT Pinecast.
All right, three questions brought to you by our friends at Arias Medical Staffing. They help physical therapists, assistants find jobs across the country. And some people might be thinking, hey, travel physical therapy, that's what they do. But there are some pretty hard hit areas in the country that need therapists to now come there. So if you're looking for a position, a lot of therapists, as we mentioned before, being displaced during the current situation, Arias still has positions, all different settings in all 50 states plus Washington, D.C. Take a look and see what's available. If you still want to do this great thing called physical therapy and you want to do it somewhere that's really, really in need, Arias has that connection. And again, we always like to say nothing's written in stone. You can check out what they have with no obligation. So visit them online at AURUSmedical.com. That is AURUSmedical.com. Go there. Erica, first question. All right, on three questions, no pressure here at all. But once we're free to move about the country and travel anywhere we want to go, whenever we want, again, and it will happen, where's somewhere in the country you wouldn't mind traveling and being a pelvic PT in the country around the 50 states? Where would you want to go?
Just like vacation or just actually treat?
Well, that's the cool part about travel physical therapy is you can treat it like a 3-month vacation, a short-term contract, treat and do it wherever, like on the beach or Hawaii, Alaska, anywhere.
100% California.
Yeah.
100%. I love like Santa Barbara, Newport, Monterey. Hands down. Now I'm stuck in New York because of our practice,
right,
but I would love to move there at some point.
Well, hey, that's the cool thing about travel PT. And again, as things start to open up again, travel PT is still an option. A lot of those areas need therapists. So still something that people should look into. So AURUSmedical.com. Our second question is a what question. What's something that you've read or watched on Netflix or downloaded and read or listened to on a podcast? Something that really inspired you?
I mean, this is super new on Netflix, but Unorthodox. I don't know if anyone watched it, but we...
Oh, I saw a trailer for it. Yeah.
Yeah, and they actually highlighted... I mean, this is like very pelvic floor related, but they highlighted vaginismus in it, and they've never really had like a show premise about pelvic floor and how much it could influence your life, but it's just super interesting.
Give like the
documentary.
For the audience who might not know, give them like the quick 15-second like overview of like what the show's about.
The show is about a Orthodox Jewish community in Brooklyn that there is a woman who is married to, you know, her husband, and she had painful intercourse, and he asked her to get divorced because of it. And then, you never hear about that on shows.
Sure.
And I appreciated it. Yeah. So it was touching.
I got really nervous because when you started off, you're saying, well, there's this show on Netflix. I was like, if she says she's inspired by Tiger King, I'm going to get nervous.
I couldn't even watch Tiger King.
It's a train wreck, and I have this weird thing where I have to watch, even if it's a crappy movie, I have to watch to the end. And Tiger King's the same thing. I mean, it's a train wreck, but I had to watch the damn thing. But I'm glad you did. You weren't inspired by Tiger King. I'm glad by that.
Yeah, no. And I just did a home yoga video. Obviously, everyone's doing like their home workouts.
Right.
But the yoga teacher was saying, you know, with COVID, we need to think about that this is just like a change, and we need to adjust our mindset. And I thought that was really helpful for the PCs that are freaking out right now, you know?
Yeah, mindset shift. That's really important.
Mindset shift. That's all it is. And, you know, it's good to be good at it. So.
All right. Third question on three questions is a who question. Who is someone you think the audience should know more about? It's your chance to give someone either another physical therapist or somebody you know, read or watch or listen to frequently a shout out.
Okay. I'll give the V-Hive. She is a friend. She's also a podcast. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
She highlights a lot of like pelvic floor, chronic pain, and mindfulness and different practitioners. And she's awesome.
That's
so
cool.
That's Hannah Matluck on the V-Hive. So that's also cool too if you're into podcasts.
Yeah.
Especially it's a nice learning experience for PTs.
Plus it's kind of a good name. I like the V-Hive. Easy to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she changed it. It's good. Yeah.
All right, you're off the hot seat. That's three questions from our friends at Aureus Medical Staffing. Again, AureusMedical.com. Find out where there are positions in this country. Again, all 50 states and D.C., plus all settings. Get to do what you're inspired to do, which is be a great PT or PTA where you want to do it. All right, you're off the hot seat, Erica. You all right? Good? You survived?
Yeah,
good.
Great.
Last thing we do on the show is called the parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
Rock Tape, the world's leading kinesiology tape, is bringing you your parting shot. More than just a tape company, though, a movement company, giving you the classes, the education, and yes, the world's leading kinesiology tape to get your patients moving stronger, longer. Find out more information about Rock Tape and how you can apply it with your patients at rocktape.com/medical. That's rocktape.com/medical. So this is your chance for a mic drop moment. If you want it, you know, if you had the ear of the entire profession listening to you, no pressure again. What would you want people to focus on? What's your parting shot?
Again, that this is a change in our careers and that we have to learn to adapt. And I think it's actually an opportunity for us to learn different skill sets. And it could enhance our profession as a whole, honestly.
Yeah. It's going to increase something or increase our aptitude at something I'm pretty inspired about, which is communication. We can always get better at communicating. And you've already highlighted a few times in this episode where using your words better and pre-planning things and thinking about it before you say them is so important. I think that's a great parting shot.
Right, because it could carry over in presentations and it can carry over in, you know, social media and things like that. So it's definitely beneficial for yourself.
Now you're speaking my language right there.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Solstice Physiotherapy in Midtown, New York City in Great Neck, Long Island. If you want to check out the website, it is solsticept.com. On the Facebook, on the Instagram, at Solstice Physio. Erica, thanks for giving us some time. Know you're busy, but appreciate you taking a chance to really kind of enlighten and shed some light on how you're adapting to this whole situation.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. This is a lot of fun, actually. This is great.
I like how you throw actually in there. Like, it's fun, actually. I thought this was going to be a train wreck.
I know. I always get nervous for this stuff, but I love it. It's great.
Oh, that's awesome, Erica. Well, hey, appreciate you coming on. And again, good luck to you down in Midtown and Long Island, all right?
Cool. Thank you so much.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Want to thank Brooks IHL. That's Brooks Rehabilitation Institute of Higher Learning, offering residencies, fellowship education, orthopedics, women's health, geriatrics, neurologic PT, pediatric sports. That's an overview of their residencies. Check out what they have to offer at brooksihl.org. World-class educational opportunities to the local and regional community. Check them out, brooksihl.org. Our home on the internet. PT
buildptpintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.